And if you've ever heard of the Sermon on the Mount. Okay, how many of you ever watched it on The Chosen, where Jesus was preaching the Sermon on the Mount? Yeah, so, okay, some of you, good. So we're going to be talking about the Sermon on the Mount, and it's found in Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. We're not doing all those chapters today. Let's go, whoosh, all right? So we're going to do that, and I'm going to do a little groundwork, okay? And I've got notes that they're not even going to put up, because I have like 10 things I just want to say really fast, and this is the groundwork, so you can understand Matthew wrote this, and why he wrote this, and what's going on, so that when we jump into the Sermon on the Mount, you're like, okay, Pastor D, let's get moving here, all right? Now, when I say Sermon on the Mount, what do you think of? Okay, sermon. Jesus actually preached a sermon, okay? Just like I do. He preached a sermon, and he starts preaching, teaching to the disciples only. So open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. He starts talking just to the disciples. Now, later on, the crowd, like, whoa, there's Jesus with the disciples, and they come charging up the mountain, okay? And we'll see that more in Matthew chapter 5. But I want to say this to you, okay? Because we are smarter than a fifth grader. Amen. You better say amen to that. Some of the things that you learn in church, you learn as you read in the Bible, as you are taught, guess what? They're not always to be told to people who don't know Jesus yet. Okay? Let me say this. They've not received Jesus, so you can't go blurting all of this out. All right? So if I were to have a room like this and it was filled with people that don't know Jesus yet, I would change my teaching style. I would change what I would say as opposed to what I'm going to say to you all today. All right? Because they don't know Jesus yet. So I say all that, and you just might ponder on this. All right? And I think the past couple years, and I say this so often, we have this thing called social media, and people are just believers are blowing up social media, and they're mad about what you wrote and what you said and who you're with, and they're bah, bah, bah. All right? Anybody ever see that on social media? Don't raise your hand. Don't point to anybody, okay? Don't raise your hand, all right? So, you know, you can be passionate, but here's the thing. People who don't know Jesus yet, all right, this is what Jesus said. Everybody say, I listen to when Jesus talks, okay? This is what Jesus said. He said, don't cast your pearls before swine. Now, I live in York, Pennsylvania. There's no pigs around here, so what are you talking about? Well, everybody back then knew what he was talking about, and this is what he's saying. Hey, you guys, when you learn valuable things from God, when God is speaking to you, you can't cast them before people who don't know Jesus yet. Because they're like, huh? Okay, it doesn't compute, all righty? Now, it's impossible for them to really understand that until all the things that you just want to go, listen, you know, I get with, who was I hanging out with the other day? Who's it, Brenton? And I'm like, we're just like, look what I learned. Ooh. Okay, someone who doesn't know Jesus, they're like, tilt, all right? So I just want to say that, all right? Now, if you do that, if you're just blasting them on how they should be living and where they should not be going and what they should be doing, they're going to think you're an idiot. Sorry, like you're like, what's going on with you? So, we're going to talk to them differently. Okay? We're going to say, hey, God loves you. We're not going to go tell them all the bad things they're doing. Jesus loves you. All right? We're going to actually, you know what that's called? We're going to present the gospel to them. Isn't that a novel idea? All right, so I say all of that. Okay. That was just warming up. By the way, today. Oh, thank you. They put the fans on. Praise the Lord. So let me give you some background. Let me give you some background about the Gospel of Matthew, and I'm going to kind of go fast in this whole Gospel, but especially the Sermon on the Mount. It gives you the genealogy of Jesus. He is a descendant of King David. He is a king, right? Secondly, who cares? Well, Matthew begins with telling us Jesus is the king. At the end of Matthew, he's still telling us Jesus is the king. So here's the thing. Question, write this down. Is he the king of your life? It's really nice to point to everybody else, but is he the king of your life, all right? So what does that mean? It means he has total control. Now, I would like to say, Jesus is the king of my life. He has total control, but some days not so much. There's some, you know, we're still working on it, but he is my king and savior, and I'm aiming at that, all right? Here's another one. The Gospel of Matthew reveals Jesus' public ministry started after he was baptized and he was 30 years old. How many of you remember being 30? I don't. It's like a long time. Okay. All right. Now, the reason why I said that is, he had not performed any miracles or any healings before 30. Why? Don't you like two-year-olds? Why? Well, because the priestly ministries, those in the Old Testament who were called into ministry, weren't allowed to enter ministry until they were 30 years old. Okay, and Jesus is the high priest. So anyway, so he had not done any miracles or healings. And I grew up hearing this, and maybe you did this. The world said, well, you know, when Jesus was a little boy, he saw this bird hobbling along and had a broken leg, and he healed it. He did a miracle. Nope. That's just not true. Because it says, and we'll see this, it wasn't until he was 30 years old, he was baptized, and man, then he took off doing all that stuff. Alrighty. Another thing in the Gospel of Matthew that shows Jesus began his public ministry announcing you need God, announcing that you need God, and announced that you need to repent. Amen. Another thing in the Gospel of Matthew, it gives the account of Jesus being led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tempted. Okay, I'm just going over things, so when you read this, you're like, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, okay? Oh yeah, oh yeah. The other thing is Jesus, it shows Jesus choosing his disciples in the Gospel of Matthew. Now, he didn't pick anybody like, oh, look at this person, I'm going to pick them. Are you kidding me? Levi was a tax collector. He was not thought of very nicely. He picked just regular Joe Schmoes. Am I allowed to say that? Yeah, just regular people he chose. Amen. Good. Pastor D, I'm so glad. Normal. All right. Another one. The Gospel of Matthew says he's announcing the kingdom by displaying its power. All right. Now, guys, we are living in God's kingdom, and there is power in the kingdom of God. Amen? Yeah. I want to see more, too, going on. Okay. Also in the Gospel of Matthew, it says he starts telling, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Jesus was given all authority and power. And then later on, he says, I am now going to delegate this to you guys. So when Jesus, God says, oh, good, I have all these little children down here. This is so wonderful. I'm just going to let them figure it out and flounder. No, he says, I am now giving you all power and all authority so we don't have to be pushed all over the place. Everybody should say, yeah, amen. So give him coffee, Lord. I know, it's hot. I know, I'm so hot. The other thing in the Sermon on the Mount, it talks about Jesus is king, and he starts telling us how to live, how to walk, all right? Now, how we walk in this new kingdom is really different than the way I walked before. Anybody else? Yeah? So we're to walk differently now that we're in his kingdom. Everybody look at the person and say, you walking differently? Yeah. Now, I'll tell the story about, so before I received Jesus, I really didn't care about y'all. I was in for me. Come on, y'all. It's all about me. It's all about me. Huh? Am I going to do this? Am I going to do that? But then I asked Jesus into my life, and he says he takes that old stony heart and he puts a new heart, a heart of what? Love. And now I start caring for people. And so I'll come up and I'll go, hey, how you doing? How's your walk with Jesus? Why? Because I care. Everybody say, I care. Now, typically speaking, now you, some of you are like, oh, Pastor D, I was so nice, I cared about people. Not to this extent. So the moment you receive Jesus, you care big. You really care about people, okay? Amen. Okay. Other thing. Okay, last one. Sermon on the Mount defines and transforms. Oh, this one I love. It starts telling us what a transformed life looks like with God. Now, I walked in the world for like 20 plus years, and I just knew the world. I just know how to walk like the world. And then I asked Jesus into my life, and I start reading the Word, and the Word starts telling me what my life should look like, right? So everybody should know what they should look like. Alrighty, here we go. Matthew chapter 5, y'all there? Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 are an introduction into the Sermon on the Mount. It's just an introduction. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Seeing the multitudes, he, Jesus, went on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Who came to him? The crowd? Good, you read your Bible. The disciples, all right? Keep reading. Verse 2. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, all right. Okay, who did he teach at that point? Yay, you guys. You get stars and lollipops. This is great. Now, Bible scholars. I love Bible scholars. As much as I read and I study, they got a whole group that have been doing this for centuries. But they say, chapters 5 and 6, Jesus is talking to his disciples. And chapter 7, about halfway, Jesus starts shifting and he's talking to the crowd. He starts shifting how he's teaching because he's talking to the crowd, all right? So Jesus taught a certain way to his disciples. Why? Well, he expected more out of them, right? You got a 2-year-old and then you got a 16-year-old. I expect a whole lot more out of that 16-year-old, right? All right, so Jesus expected more out of his disciples, okay, and they were his followers and stuff like that. Then the crowd comes along, and these are people who don't know God. They don't know Jesus. They don't know anything yet. So he starts shifting how he's going to teach them, all right? And that is why, again, you got to be careful at the things that you are talking to people who don't know Jesus yet. That's like, wing, right? Wing, over the head. All righty? Now, I'm told I'm not allowed to, but I would love never to have social media. Pastor D, you wouldn't be with it. No, I wouldn't be so distracted. I'm like an hour goes by, okay? So even though I can't, but just you wait. No, I would like to. But this is what I've noticed. Most of the time, most of the people that are on social media, they are putting down people. Not any of us, because you all heard this sermon before. But they just putting down people and slamming them and constantly. And then, you know what I notice? That they're all about me. All the things me about my life, me. And the last time I read my Bible, it says, if you're a humble person, it's not about you. So I just want to toss this out. Maybe you just want to fast social media. Just pray about it. I've had some friends, they said, I want off of it for a month. I was like, wow, you had a lot of time to do things. You watch them outside. And they're like, oh, yeah, I went off social media. Look at all the things I'm doing. Okay, anyway. All right, so this is our first week on the Sermon on the Mount. And by the way, parents, what we're doing, we're going to go through this. This is something you can sit down. You can just go over verse 1 and verse 2 with your kids. Just real easy. It's just the Sermon on the Mount is really easy, all right? So we're going to start reading at verse 3. Here we go. Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the, they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. And I like this one. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. You know, I just kind of wonder when the world's looking at us and we're like, you know, and they're like, they're expecting us to be peacemakers and they're going, man, I don't see that in. Are they? I don't know if they're the sons of God. Yeah. All right, moving on. Okay, verse 8. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You're going to get it too. Okay, praise the Lord. So I'm going to break the Sermon on the Mount into three sections. Today's section one. And section one really is called the Beatitudes, which is kind of what I read, the Beatitudes. All right? Now, did you notice they start 9 times, blessed are, blessed are, blessed, okay? Now, what does that mean? Well, they're going to pop this on the screen. In the original Greek, it means blessed means to be happy, fortunate, jubilant. It's when God confirms and extends his blessings towards you. So let me read verse 3 to you now again. Happy, blessed, fortunate, jubilant are the poor in spirit. Wow, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Now, this is not talking about finances. Okay, this is talking about poor in spirit, poor in spirit. So what does that mean? They're going to pop this on the screen. Poor means, this is going to make you think. Listen, poor means empty, destitute, abandoned, bankrupt. Wait a minute. Blessed are the poor in spirit? Blessed are the empty, destitute, abandoned, and bankrupt? Okay, here's a question. Who are the empty, destitute, abandoned, and bankrupt? Who? Those that don't know Jesus. Those are the poor in spirit. Those that don't know Jesus. Okay, so Jesus said, if you're poor, empty, desolate, bankrupt, spiritually, you don't know God yet, all right? And then he says, and this is the best part, and the kingdom of God is now open to you. So he nails you, and then he tells you, right? So if you're here and you've not received Jesus yet, if you've not asked him to come into your life, all right, guess what? The kingdom of God is open to you today. Now, I'm looking across the room. I'm pretty sure all of y'all, because it is true, were all poor in spirit at one time. Anybody remember being poor in spirit, not having Jesus in your life? Sometimes you should remember. Man, go quick through the remembering, all right? But man, I remember what Jesus brought me out of. I remember being poor in spirit. I remember not having him in my life. So what happens when you receive Jesus is amazing. It's amazing, okay? Now, when you receive Jesus, you might hear different terminology, and it's actually out of the Word of God. Some places, the Bible says, after you receive Jesus, you are now born again. Some people are like, I don't like that. It's in the Bible, okay? So one of the terms that you'll hear after you receive Jesus, you're born again. The other one you might hear, you'll read later on, is you're a new creature. Raise your hand if you're a new creation, new creature, right? All right, so somebody who has accepted Jesus, they're a new creature on the inside, all right? And I would just love if everything was, ta-da, new. Yeah, I'd be like teenager, you know, just great. But that's not the case. So the day you receive Jesus, you become a new creature, new on the inside. Everybody say, I'm new on the inside. All right, I'm brand new. So what's new? It's not this, it's not this. It's my spirit's made new. So we are a spirit. We have a mind, will, and emotion, an intellect, and I live in this body. This and this didn't change. But the day you receive Jesus, this on the inside is brand new. I love it. Now, if you've not accepted Jesus and you're not brand new on the inside, we'll give you an opportunity. I really want that for you. But if you've accepted Jesus, I want to talk just to you. Open up to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Oh, I went too far. I got my pages here. Hebrews 12, verse 23. This is the Apostle Paul, and he's writing, and he says, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn. Raise your hand if you are a part of the church of the firstborn. If you've asked Jesus in your heart, you are a part of the church of the firstborn. So it says, to the general assembly, to the church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven. Okay, how many of you brides or mommies registered at Target? You're registered at Target to get all these goodies. When you're a member of the Church of the Firstborn, you are registered in where? Heaven. Your name is written in heaven. That's better than Target, right? Okay, so you are registered in heaven to God, the judge of all, to the saints of just men made perfect. So to the, to the spirits of just men, to the spirits of born again, to the spirits of new creations, you are made what? I'm looking at you all. I have to read this again, right? You are made perfect. All right, you are made perfect. Praise God, made perfect. So it's real interesting. I may be made perfect, okay? So I'm where? What's perfect? I've received Jesus. I've asked Jesus to come into my life, be Lord of my life. My spirit's made perfect. Not so much up here, not so much over here, but this is made perfect. Everybody say, I'm perfect. All right, I'm perfect. Now, here's the thing. My mind is imperfect. My body's imperfect. And if I let my mind and my body control my spirit, two against one, it's not going to go well. All right? So, but this is perfect. Okay, but if I don't take captive my thoughts, if I don't tell my flesh to knock it off, they'll start to control and get me going this way. And yet, I am perfect. I don't want to go this, but so this is so important. You've got to read your Bible, renew your mind, meditate day and night, okay? Tell your flesh, no, don't say that. Don't do that, okay? And you're going to just start living really good. But you are perfect on the inside. So moving on, Jesus is teaching his disciples, his close ones, and he says, now the kingdom of God is open to all those that are far from him, all right? So that's the first thing he says. He's actually talking about salvation, right? The kingdom of God is open to all that are far. He's giving an invitation for salvation. So write this down. This is called the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are progressive. That means they start here and they're moving. Okay? And they're going to go someplace. So the Beatitudes start with salvation. You accept Jesus into your life. They start there, all right? And then they end, you know, this is where they end, you being persecuted for your salvation. Everybody go, yippee! I know. Okay, the Beatitudes, what we're going to read, and what we started reading, really, just a couple of them there, they start with salvation for those that are far from God. Yay! And then they talk about you being persecuted. Now, I have to say this. There's nobody here in the United States that have been horribly persecuted like you read in your Bible, like you hear in other countries, okay? Horribly persecuted for your salvation, for your faith in Jesus. But I want to tell you, it's a happening, okay? And someday you might be persecuted for simply saying, Jesus is my Lord. Oh, you shall. Yay, praise the Lord, Pastor D. Okay, yeah, okay. All right, so the Beatitudes start with salvation. They start with salvation. And okay, so our vision at YCF is to gather, grow, and go. We are to go to those who are far from Jesus, far from God, okay? And that must always be, not just YCF, that must always be believers. That's your passion, because that was Jesus' passion, to go and tell people who are far from God. Amen? Amen. Ooh, praise the Lord. I don't know where I am on my page here. Okay. I don't know where I am. Oh, yeah, okay. So, Beatitudes are a progression. You start here with salvation, and then they're going to go here. Listen what he says in verse 4. Jump down to verse 4. Blessed, happy, fortunate are those who mourn. Did I read that right? Blessed, happy, fortunate are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. How many of you remember when you first accepted Jesus into your life? I was like, whoa, this is great. I feel great. I used to be down in the dumps. I feel really good. I remember before I met Jesus, I was a mess. I just had this heaviness, this lostness, and just deep down unhappiness. Then I accepted Jesus, and it was great. Everybody being mean, like, this was wonderful. It's like, shoo, I could breathe again. Okay, and then after a while, you know, life hits. You know, like stuff happens, right? And then things happen. And listen to this. Jesus never said you're never going to have stuff happen. Jesus never said you're going to have trials and tribulations. He never said you're not. He never said that's not going to happen to you. All right? Because, again, starts with salvation and then it progresses. All right? Isn't that interesting? Praise the Lord. So it progresses. All righty. All right, guys. We can do this. All righty. Here we go. Let's go back and read that again. He says, if you mourn, and we'll talk in depth, you'll be comforted. So it's a progression. You start with salvation, and then if you mourn, okay, so what does mourn mean? Okay, I had to look that one up because I kind of was off. Mourn means to experience deep grief, lament, to weep. Jesus is saying if you mourn, if you're experiencing deep grief, if you're lamenting, if you're weeping, he says he's got some help. He's got some comfort for you, all right? So, okay, I'm going to go on a rabbit trail. I'm going to go here, make sure I get back here, all right? I'm not going to get lost. So in the Gospels, Jesus says in other places, he says, I'm going to send you a comforter. And here he just said, if you mourn, I'm going to give you comfort. It's the same word. It's the same word, okay? I'm going to impress you. It's the Greek, parakletos. Okay, that's as far as my Greek goes today, all right? So he's saying if you have a problem and you're mourning, if you're experiencing deep grief in your life, he says you can be comforted. That's wonderful. So if you're writing notes, listen to this. He starts, the new birth starts in verse 3, all right? Now I'm going to get you. Put your seatbelts on, all right? And then the comfort comes, the comforter, the Holy Spirit comes in verse 4. I didn't write this. Jesus did. So, now, but I have to say this. You can't have the Holy Spirit come until you have Jesus first. Yeah. It's like, first you eat your dinner, then you get the treats, okay? First you have salvation, then you can have the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, come, all right? It's progressive. So, you receive Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit moves in you the day you receive Jesus. Everybody, put your hand on your heart. The Holy Spirit moved in. All right? Okay. But there's a greater place you can go with the Holy Spirit. Everybody say, but. I know. We like to start our sentences that way. Okay. Now, before I go any farther, raise your hand if you've experienced mourning in your life. Deep grief in your life, weeping. All right, pretty much everybody. If not, I'll tell you about my story, okay? Okay, so most of us had. Now, sometimes I think God made me different. Not better, not worse, just different. Yeah, thank God. I used to say to my kids, thank God he only made one of you. Couldn't take two or three or four of the same ones, okay? So he just made me differently. And typically speaking, I don't really feel deep grief. I'm like, okay, let's keep moving. Okay, all right. Now, but there's other people that live in that mourning and grief. Okay, it's okay to start there, but you don't want to pitch your tent there, right? And there's help if you're in that place. All righty. So anyway, I have experienced mourning in my life before, okay, and probably the most recent that just really whacked me was when Jack passed away, all right? And if you've ever lost a loved one, you know, it's one thing to see, oh, my high school teacher passed away, but when you lose a loved one, you can have some mourning going on, some grief going on, okay? But I always have to say this, they're not lost. I have to remember not to say that, they're not lost. They've just transitioned from here to there. So if they know Jesus, they've transitioned, right? And I like what Paul says in Ephesians. He says, the whole family, everybody go like this, family. The whole family in heaven and in earth. So if you know Jesus, okay, so here y'all are the family of God. Some of you are family, okay? Okay, but here, if you've received Jesus, you're family. I love my family, okay? Here, you're family. But after you, when you give up the last breath, you transition to there. And there's family there, and there's family here. Amen? Changed addresses. Oh, praise the Lord. Okay, moving on. So I have to say, I'm typically not a deep mourning person. And then Jack died, and I'm like, that's what that book was talking about. Five stages of grief. I chucked the book out. I did. I read two chapters, and I said, oh, Jesus. Okay, and I'll tell you why, all right? But so I have to say this. When you see somebody that's in deep mourning and grief, let me tell you what someone said to me. This is a lady I've known for years. She doesn't attend our church, okay, so don't go racking your brain. But I ran into her, I don't know, some store, and she comes up, and she knew Jack had passed away, and she comes up, and she goes, so how does it feel to be a widow? I was thinking your O's. Uh-huh. So listen, there's some things we say we shouldn't say. And there's some things, and there's even worse things someone said to me. I was like, are you kidding me? Okay, and then there's some things just stupid. Don't say that. People that are mourning, usually you can tell on their face. Sometimes not always, okay? Okay, but say, they're hurting, they're mourning. You need to say nice things. So why do I say all of that? Because I had a season where I was in grief and in mourning, and this is what I would say. Holy Spirit, I need your help. I would say that a lot through the day. I would say it through the next day and the next day. Holy Spirit, I need your help. And guess what? I started relying on the Holy Spirit. And guess what? He took me out of that. He'll do that. The Holy Spirit. Isn't the Holy Spirit wonderful? He's wonderful. And he does a whole bunch of other things. Okay. So let's talk about the Holy Spirit, and it doesn't matter how long you've known Jesus. I want you to hear this. The day you accept Jesus, would you come into my life? Jesus, I'm a mess. I need you. Come into my life. That's the day the Holy Spirit moves on the inside of you. He's inside of you. Little kids, okay, we used to do this in children's church. Hello, Holy Spirit, you know. This is what we do, kids, just so they get their head wrapped on it, okay? So he moves in here, okay? He lives in you. So once he moves in, he's living inside of you, then he also wants to have have more relationship with you. He wants to be more in a relationship with you, but not just he's inside of you. Okay? Not just that he's inside. He wants to be able to help you. He wants to be able to comfort you. And we're going to give you a whole list of other things. So turn to Luke 24, verse 49. Luke 24. Because it's going to be time to shake here. Okay. All righty. So once you receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit's moved in, but he wants more. Luke 24, 49. This is Jesus talking. He says, listen carefully. I'm sending the promise of the Father. So who promised something? Yeah, God the Father promised. I think he keeps his promises. All right? So I'm sending the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit upon you. Not in you. You have him, but he's going to send the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Holy Spirit to come upon you. You should write that down. In you. Next space, on you. In you and on you, all right? Okay, but you are to remain in the city until you are clothed, fully equipped with power from on high. Have you ever felt like I could use some more power? Like I am running out. Like I could use some power, right? Okay. And he says here, you can be fully equipped. Okay. So if you're a student, that was a long, 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 long time ago, okay? And you think this means, oh, a I'm just going to take the test I never studied for. And that's not what he's talking about. You need to study. If you play an instrument, I'm just going to hop up here and play. Nope, you need to practice. What he's talking about is being fully equipped to live the life that God has called you to do. That's what the Holy Spirit will do. He'll help you be fully equipped to live this life that he's called you to live. And victory. Yeah. So turn over now to Acts chapter 1. Acts is written by Luke, who's a physician. He obviously wrote Luke, but he also wrote Acts. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. He says, while being together and eating with them, he, Jesus, commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. We just read that, right? Of which he said, you have heard me speak, and he did, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized and empowered and united with the Holy Spirit not long from now. So here's my question. Did they back then get it that way, and now here we are, 20, I don't know how many thousand years later, and we don't get it? I think so. Okay. It's whacked out there. The culture and the time that we're living, it's bananas. That's nice words, right? It's whacked and it's bananas out there. I need the Holy Spirit to empower me to live the fullest life for the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? I need his help. I need to rely on him. Amen. So, do you need the Holy Spirit? I sure do. So the disciples, so after Jesus says all that, I just love the disciples. I always feel like I could fit in with you boys. They start talking to one each other and they start going, I don't know what he talks about. I don't know. So let's all go ask him. So here we are, verse 6. And when they had come together, the disciples asked him repeatedly. Just like the 2-year-old. Na 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 na. Okay, repeatedly. You, Lord, are you at this time establishing the kingdom and restoring it to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the time or the epoch which the Father has fixed by his authority. In other words, he's telling him, I'm not telling you, just keep moving. Now watch what he says next, verse 8. But you will receive power and ability. Oh, anybody feel like you just need some power in your life? Man, okay? Like, I could use some power. I could use a fresh dose of power. Then he says, okay, but you will receive power and ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Remember? He's in you, but he'll come upon you then, and you will be my witnesses to tell people about me. Now, wait a minute. What? I need the Holy Spirit to tell people about Jesus. I just read that. I didn't write that. Okay? Lord, have mercy. We've been trying to do this without the Holy Spirit. Or, Lord, have mercy. We're just doing with a little dab. A little dab won't do you, you know? He said, how about the Holy Spirit comes in and you get all of him? I'm in for all. All right. All right, turn to John 14. John 14, verse 16. This is Jesus. And I will ask, John 14, verse 16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another. Everybody say another. It means another of the same kind. Another of the same kind. He's going to give you another of the same kind of Jesus, but another, okay? So, up until that point, who was the comforter for the disciples? Jesus. If they needed something, they go to Jesus. They got something going on, they go to Jesus. Up until that point, the comforter was, okay, but this is progression. Here we go. Here we go, the next part. So we're in John chapter 14. If you go up to verse 1 and 2, Jesus goes, hey, I'm going to I'm going to my Father, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And then in verse 16, I got to read this again. And I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another. All right, he'll give you another. So he's saying, hey, I'm out of here. Y'all are staying, and you're going to need the helper, the comforter. I'm out of here. You all are staying, and you're going to need the comforter. You're going to need the helper. And I like, so I picked the Amplified because it just breaks it down. You should write this down. I had this post-it note on my mirror in my bathroom for years. Okay, write this down. The Amplified says, the comforter, helper, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby will be with you forever. So Jesus is saying, I'm giving you another. The comforter, the helper, the advocate, the standby, the intercessor that will be with you forever. Anybody, that's so good. That is so good. All right. Now I'm gonna, so the Greek word is parakletos, my Greek word for the day. And that's the same word, helper, comforter, that Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 3 and 4. If you mourn, I'll give you a comforter. Praise the Lord. So Jesus starts with salvation. And he says, first, you accept Jesus. The kingdom of God's open. You accept Jesus. And then he says, and then the comforter, the helper. First, you accept Jesus. Then you get the helper. You can have the helper, all right? I cannot tell you how many times I've had to rely on the Holy Spirit just to go from morning to night, all right? And I've had to rely on him so many times. Matter of fact, I don't think he ever gets a day off in my life. Use him. He's there, all right? Now, I love our church. I love this church community, and we need each other. But y'all are not the Holy Spirit. And I've watched some people try to be the Holy Spirit for people. That's exhausting. Okay? That's when I know it's not the Holy Spirit. Okay? Listen. So you are not the Holy Spirit. So, but he wants to have a relationship with you. And a relationship goes beyond just, I have Jesus in my life. A relationship is he comes upon you. Amen? All right. So the Bible says he lives in you. Okay? But then he can come upon you. Turn over to Isaiah 61. It's about halfway through your Old Testament. If you hit Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, and Isaiah. Isaiah 61 is a prophetic word out of the Old Covenant, out of the Old Testament. It's a prophetic word, but Jesus quotes this. Jesus speaks this in Luke chapter 4. Okay, Old Testament, and then we got Jesus over here, and he starts saying this. Okay, but here we go. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That was what Jesus said in Luke 4. Because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor in spirit and sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Salvation. That's what he said. Jesus says, I'm anointed. I'm coming with salvation. Heaven's open. All right, I'm so excited. Let's read the next part. To proclaim liberty to the captives. Anybody remember being captive? To proclaim liberty to the captive and the opening of the prisons to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and to the day of vengeance of our God. Okay, I don't have time to get this, but Luke chapter 4, he starts going in and it's called the year of Jubilee. Anybody hear that? Oh, put your seatbelts on. He's talking about the year of Jubilee. What happened is every 50 years, anybody 50 years old? All right. I saw a couple of hands up. Okay. On the 50th year in Israel, the trumpet would blast, and everything that you lost, everything that was taken from you, like you own this property and you couldn't pay for it, everything was brought back. That is a good year. All right? That's a really good year. So everything was returned. And then, the Bible says Jesus restored us. So whatever Satan stole, Jesus got back. He's the year of Jubilee in our life, and I don't have to wait 50 years, right? He's restored us back to him. I love it. I love it. Okay, moving on. Okay, the next one, verse 2, to comfort all that mourn. Maybe you're here and you've got mourning going on in your heart. Maybe someone's listening online and you've just got this deep grief going on in your heart, okay? And you may not be showing it. You know, I know how to fake it till you make it. I'm doing good, But, you know, come on, let's be real. Sometimes it's just this deep grief, okay? But listen to what he says next. This is what Jesus came, to console those who mourn in Zion and to give them beauty for ashes. Okay, so I get a little nerdy in the Bible, and I start studying ashes. Pastor D, what were you thinking? Okay, but if you do a study on ashes in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, people would throw ashes on themselves. You know, you had a fire pit and you got ashes, and they would throw them on themselves. Okay, and you'll read that with, is that the story of Noah? No, not Noah. Jonah, thank you. Okay, in other places, okay. They throw, and it was a type of repentance to show their sorrow, okay? And other times, they would just sit in the ashes and just go like this. Aren't you glad? We don't do that. But sometimes we let our past haunt us. And we're actually like covered in this ash this morning. Anybody have your past haunt you? All right. So we're walking around spiritually. You're not walking around throwing ashes, but sometimes this past haunts us, and we've got this ash on us, and people see you coming, and they're like, they got their past on them. They can't get out of it. So do I sit and deny it? I'm good. I'm all good. I'm really good. No. You go to Jesus. And you apply the blood of Jesus, it cleanses us. It says he takes our past and it's wiped away. He doesn't even remember our past. So don't go carrying ashes, okay? And if you see somebody, you can say, go to Jesus, okay? Go get rid of those ashes, all right? So to give beauty for ashes. When Jesus comes into your life, amazing. I tell you, I did not know what happened the day I prayed that prayer. All I knew is I was different. And then as I start reading the Bible, it took me 6 months to get a Bible. Novel idea, I get a Bible, okay? But then I found out that he took all of my sins and he washed them away. He took them away, right? He takes them away as far as the east of the west and he remembers them no more, right? Everybody know that one? Okay? So I received Jesus and he took all my sins away. And then somebody said to me, but Pastor D, you know, since I became a Christian, I'm still sinning. Oh, you are? No. Hello, join the club. After I received Jesus, I still mess up. Anybody gonna raise your hand with me? Okay? And what do? You have to have the heart towards God. Father God, man, I messed up today. Lord, I don't want to do this. Help me be an overcomer. I confess this as sin, and I thank you that you have washed my sins away. So, okay? Real easy. Okay, keep reading. To give you beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning. I love reading about, there's something about joy. There's something about joy, right? There's something about joy. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. The joy of the Lord is my strength. A merry heart / joyful heart is like medicine. All righty? There's something about joy. So he wants to help you with this mourning and give you joy. Okay, keep reading. The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. How many of you came into church, before you came into church, you put your clothes on? Thank God nobody walked in here naked. Thank you. Okay? You had to put on clothes. You have to put on praise. Pastor D is supposed to help us, and the Burt worship team, they help us put on praise. No, the Bible says you put on the garment of praise. I don't feel like it. That is the day you need to put on the garment of praise. But you don't know what happened today. That is the day you need to put on the garment of praise. God, you are so good, and I'm just going to thank you for my salvation. I thank you for your blessings in my life, and I'm just going to praise you. I praise you, Lord, okay? You, everybody say you. Have to put on the garment of praise. Okay, keep reading. That they might be called the trees of righteousness. The day you asked Jesus into your life, you became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Okay, let me do a quick review, and then I want one more thing to close up, all right? So, the day you received Jesus Christ, you are no longer destitute, without God, or hopeless. Yes! The day you received Jesus Christ, you are now a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I love this. If any man be in Christ, born again, he is new, a new creature on the inside. This didn't change, but this is new. I'm working on this, right? I'm a new, okay? If you've received Jesus Christ, you are in a relationship with the Holy Spirit, or you can be, and we'll give you an opportunity. If you've received Jesus Christ, you are blessed, happy, fortunate. So stop walking around, all right? You are blessed. Jesus is in your life, okay? All right, what about this Holy Spirit thing? You knew I was saving the best for the laughs. I have heard people over the years just talk not nice about YCF, about me, because we believe in the Holy Spirit. And I don't care. I don't care. Listen, once you receive the Holy Spirit, not just in you, but upon you, okay? I have the Holy Spirit. I'm in a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I tap into him all the time. So I don't care. But let me give you the Bible. Turn over to Luke 11:11. Luke 11:11. Okay, Luke 11:11. I used to read this probably for the first decade more, and I was like, what? And then one day I said, Lord, I know there's more to this. You know, you can ask God, you're reading something and you're like, I know there's more to it, so let's get the more to it. Ready? Here we go. If a kid asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Are you going to give him a stone? Normal people don't dish out stones, right? Okay? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent, a snake instead of a fish? Anyone? No. I don't care if you're one of those strict parents, good parents, okay, that monitor what your kids eat. You're not going to give him a snake, right? All right. All right, here, next one. Or if he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? All righty. Now, verse 13. If you then... The King James says being evil, it just means normal people, okay? So if you then being normal, natural, know how to give good gifts to your children. Y'all know how to give good gifts to your children? Yeah. Okay. How much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Everybody say, ask him. All right. So if you want to know and go farther knowing the Holy Spirit in your relationship, we're going to give you an opportunity, okay? But I'm telling you, y'all need the Holy Spirit more than he just came in. He wants to come upon. Okay, so I want to pray, everybody just close your eyes, bow your heads for a few minutes, okay? Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is just, it is refreshing. It is powerful. And Father, thank you that Matthew chapter 5 starts with Jesus offering salvation and then moves to giving us the Holy Spirit. And Father, if there's somebody here today that's mourning in their heart, that they may not look like it, but inside, Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit come and comfort them. If people are hurting, Father, I thank you that there'd be a peace that passes all understanding. All right, and Father, as we're in your presence right now, just speak to us, Holy Spirit. Are there any adjustments in our life? And if you're here and you're like, I need the Holy Spirit, just say, Lord, help me take that next step. Next step. So with eyes closed, you know, just there's two things that we learned, we saw. We saw that Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for that are destitute and abandoned, for theirs is the kingdom of God. We found out that God opened the kingdom of God for us, for those who are far. And we were once far from him, and I'm so glad. And then we found out the next step, the Holy Spirit. If you're mourning, you can have the Holy Spirit come in and comfort you. Come in and be alongside you. Come in and be your counselor and advocate and all of that, okay? So with eyes closed, if you're here and you'd say, Pastor D, I need Jesus. I want to receive Jesus into my life. I realize, I'm empty. I'm not good. I really don't have joy and peace in my life. Okay, if that's you and you'd say, Pastor D, I need Jesus, I want to pray for you. Or you're here and you'd say, Pastor D, you know, I received Jesus in my life and I've just kind of walked away. I want to recommit my life. I want to come back to this relationship, this closeness with Jesus. So I want to pray for you. Or maybe you're here and you say, Pastor D, I'm good. I'm walking with God. But I think I need, matter of fact, I know I need the Holy Spirit. So if you're here and you want to receive Jesus, or you're here and you want to recommit Jesus to Jesus, or you're here and you'd like to have the Holy Spirit, invite the Holy Spirit to come upon you, I want to pray for you. Okay, so eyes are closed, heads are bowed. I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith. Nothing hard. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you'd like to receive Jesus. No one's looking around, just me. If you'd like to receive Jesus, if you'd like to, I see that hand, if you'd like to recommit your life to Jesus, or you'd like to have the Holy Spirit come into you. Okay, I see those hands. Lots of hands going up. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, you can put your hands down. Okay, so if you raised your hand, we're going to pray. We're just going to pray. And what I want you to do is just pray this simple prayer. Just repeat after me. And we're really going to pray that right down. Romans 10, 9 and 10. It says, if you believe in your heart that God sent his son Jesus to die on a cross and he was resurrected and he's seated in heaven, he took all your sin. If you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, Jesus as Lord, you'll be saved. If you believe in your heart, you'll be saved. So would you repeat this prayer after me? If you'd like to receive Jesus or commit your life to Jesus, say, Father, I repent of my sins. I ask Jesus to be my Savior. Father, you're now my God and my Father. Jesus, you are my Savior. My sins are forgiven. And I thank you, I'm saved. I thank you, I'm your child. Amen. Now, for those of you that want to receive the Holy Spirit come upon you, okay, I'm going to have you pray with me, but afterwards, after everybody's clearing out, I would like you to come up front. We have a mini book for you. We just want to pray with you, give some more instructions, but we're going to do what the Bible says. Ready? So bow your heads, close your eyes if you want to receive the Holy Spirit. But again, afterwards, I want you to come up. Simply say this, Father, I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and with power. I thank you that you said in your word, if we ask for the Holy Spirit, you'll give the Holy Spirit. So I ask and I thank you now for the Holy Spirit to come upon me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm so glad that this is progressive. It starts with salvation and ends with the Holy Spirit. Anybody else? Amen. Super, super, super. Hey, would you all stand? Father, I thank you for these people. I thank you that they're so dear and special to you. I thank you, Father, your hands upon them for good and not evil. I thank you, Father, that they are blessed coming in. And I thank you, Father, they are blessed going out. I thank you, Father, that they are lights for a world that needs you. And I thank you for empowering us to tell them about Jesus. Amen. Amen. So if you would, if you need prayer, come on up. If you would like to